Thank you for the opportunity to come here and share the word. Question for you. In the New Testament, who was the first person to be raptured? First person in the New Testament to be raptured, caught up. Jeez. That's a good answer. Not the one I'm thinking of. I'm actually looking. The word is actually the same word that is used for rapture in 1 Thessalonians 4. There it's caught up to be with the Lord. Anybody, any other guesses?
Philip.
Philip, exactly. That's what we're going to look at. Philip was raptured. See, he was led by the Spirit. And we're going to look at him. And another good answer to that question, by the way, is Paul. It says Paul was caught up to the third heaven, but that wasn't, he wasn't even saved yet in terms of Acts. In Acts 8, we have the Ethiopian eunuch, one of the children of Ham. Chapter 9, we have Paul or Saul getting saved, children of Shem. Chapter 10, we have Cornelius, the Italian man of the Roman, the child of Japheth. So you have all the sons of Noah representative as God's grace goes out through the book of Acts to the world. So let's look at Acts chapter 8 and read from verse 26. Now, angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship. He was returning and sitting in his chariot. He was reading Isaiah, the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I, unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he openeth not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. Now when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus and passed through, and he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. One question that we often hear from people is, what about those who never heard? Somebody or some far land. What about them? Are they going to go to hell? Are they going to be saved? Well, you know, Scripture brings before us Psalm 19, that the creation that God gives every day is a testimony to His greatness and His power. When you get up in the morning, you see the sun rise. There should be something in your heart that responds that that didn't just happen by itself. The world tells you their explanation of how everything began was there was nothing, and then poof, there was everything. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It is a testimony to His greatness and His power, no matter how far into the universe you look, or no matter how small, to the smallest atom you look, it testifies that God exists, that there is a great creator above us. And as we, and as the world, responds to the light God gives, He gives further light. God's looking down. He sees a man in Ethiopia, some 1,500 to 2,000 miles away from Jerusalem. Somehow, he had a message, because he knew the Scripture. He had Isaiah, book of Isaiah. Somehow God spoke to that man. We know in Scripture, well, look at 1 Kings chapter 8. Book of 1 Kings, chapter 8. Remember about Solomon and the temple. Verse 41. And remember, there was a woman, queen of the south, queen of Sheba, not far from this, where this Ethiopian was. She had heard about the wisdom of Solomon. She had made the trip and tested him, came away and said, took my breath away, His wisdom and His power. How God brings testimony to people faraway lands. And as we receive the light, whether it's creation or look at verse 41, Solomon dedicating the temple, 1 Kings 8. Moreover, concerning a foreigner who is not of your people, Israel, but has come from a far country for your name's sake, for they will hear of your great name and your strong hand, your outstretched arm. And when he comes, prays towards this temple, here in heaven, your dwelling place, do according to all for which the foreigner calls to you, that all peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your people Israel, that they may know that this temple which I have built is called by your name. This man was obedient to that word. Whether it was the Queen of Sheba told about it, they had heard about it, the Scriptures got to them, he acted upon the light that God gave to them. And God gave further light. I wonder if there's anybody here. God's spoken to you. Maybe you're young, when you were young, or you're young now. And you look up at the moon and the stars and the sun and you say, it's got to be a creator. He's speaking to you. He's given a testimony to you. Are you willing to acknowledge that He's the creator and ask Him to give you further light? Because you know we have a God in heaven who wants to reveal Himself to each one of us, to you personally, those of you that are saved. You think back, how did God bring you to Himself? What did he use? Who did he use? What scriptures did he bring before you? And as you read them, it sounded like he was talking right to you. And as God gives you that light, and you respond to it, as this eunuch did, it wasn't easy. Go on a 2,000-mile trip, 1,500, whether you do the internet search, somewhere between 1,500 and 2,000-mile trip to go to Jerusalem, to pray there, to obey what God had showed him. God saw him. That's God's way. He could look at Syria and see this general named Naaman there, who was a great general for the Syrian army, but he was a leper. But that man was open to God's word. And there was a young slave girl, an Israelite, who became servant to that man's wife. And that man had tried everything to cleanse himself of his leprosy. God used that little girl to speak to his wife. And all she said was, "Oh, I wish my master was in Israel. There's a prophet there." Just like Solomon had said, you know, "Your great name in Israel." He could heal my master of his leprosy. And so the general, Naaman, gets the king to send a letter to Israel and say, "Here, this is Naaman, my general. I want you to heal him of his leprosy." Well, the king there say, "Look how he's trying to pick a fight. Who am I, God, that can heal a leper?" And Elisha sends him and said, "There's a God in Israel. Send him to me." So the general comes down on his high horse, his entourage, to Elisha's house. You remember the story. Elisha didn't even come out. Send somebody out and says, go dip in the water in Jordan 7 times and you'll be healed. And at first the general was angry, stomped away. Well, I thought he would come out and go, "Abracadabra," and all these great things, and heal me. Steady, go to this dirty Jordan? Forget that. He goes on his way. But he was kind of a practical man. He listened to some of his underlings, and the man said to him, "You know what? If the prophet had said some great thing, if he said go to Rome and climb the stairs on your knees, whatever, wouldn't you have done it? How much more when he tells you to do this little thing?" Good point. Good point. Turned around, repented, went down and went to Jordan 7 times, came out like a newborn babe. Born again, we would say, spiritually speaking. Wonderful truth of the gospel. Put aside your pride. Put aside your greatness. That only hinders the grace of God. Come before the Lord to receive what he gives as a gift, only as a free gift, only as grace. God saw the man. God sees you. God saw the woman in Samaria coming to the well at around noontime. Nobody there. Thirsting in her soul. He knew when she'd be there. He wearied, the Lord Jesus wearied himself to be there, to speak to that woman individually. The Lord goes out of his way to talk to us because he wants to reveal himself to us, who he is. He's the great creator. But he's that man sitting on the well, looking tired, and says, "I'll give you living water. I'll give you living water. Are you thirsty? Come and drink. I'll give you living water." Well, this eunuch was like them. God saw him. God knew where he would be. So he uses Philip, the evangelist. Philip, who went around sharing the gospel. In fact, he was at Samaria, and there was a great work going on in Samaria. And God calls him from Samaria, where everybody's listening to him and believing. And he says, I got a job for you, Philip. I want you to go down to this desert, and down towards Gaza. I have something for you to do there. So, wait a minute. We got this straight. We got all these people here in Samaria, and they're open to the word. There's an open door here, and you want me to go to a desert where nobody is? He didn't really say that. He just went and obeyed. And God let him down. And once he got there, there was this lone chariot. Run and catch up to that chariot. And he had to run pretty fast, I suppose. And as he's getting by the chariot, he hears the man reading from Isaiah 53. Great chapter for him to be reading. I love on the internet, you see some on YouTube, there's some Jewish believers in Jerusalem, in Israel. And they talk to people at random, Jewish people at random, and they get them to read in Hebrew Isaiah 53. And they say to them, is that found in the Old Testament or in the New Testament? And they say, in the New Testament. He said, no, it's in the Old Testament. God had used this chapter so much so that in the Jewish synagogue, they go through scriptures often. When they come into Isaiah 52, and then next week, should be 53, they go to chapter 54. Because it sounds too much like Jesus. It sounds too much like the Lord. And there, this man, he's going down there. He's reading it, and he's asking Philip, what's he talking about? Come on up here in the chariot next to me. Let's talk. Who's this man talking about? So he reads that section from Isaiah 53, and it says, Philip, starting with that scripture, preached to him Jesus. Now let me ask a question. Maybe you're like the eunuch and you're looking for further light. As God gives you light, you'll open your eyes to more light and to see who Jesus really is. But maybe you're like Philip, and all of us should be like Philip. Are we led by the Spirit of God? There are a lot of people out there that are lost and lonely, and they look at the world and they try the way the world tells them to live, and they come up empty. Many of them are in despair, they have no hope. Are you available for the Lord to say, go and talk to this person? Tell them about me. Maybe they're using a smile and hiding their sorrow and sadness with a smile. A lot of people that do that. I was listening to a song. I love the tune of it. It's called Smile by Charlie Chaplin. Was asked to write it after the war because a lot of soldiers came back very depressed. But if you listen to the words, it's kind of like a grin and bear it song. The tune is wonderful. I love to hear the tune of it. But it kind of doesn't give them any hope or any real reason to smile. They say smile and everything will turn out all right. Well, when you just smile, Everything doesn't turn out all right. The world says, follow me, and this is where your happiness will be. A lot of unhappy people in the world. A lot of unhappy children in the world. You know, I often think of when you see these shootings in schools, say, what are they thinking? Well, what they're thinking is, I'm just an accident of evolution. And once I'm dead, I'm dead. And there's nothing after that. And nobody will know who I am when I die. So I might as well go out with a bang. Then at least people will know my name. Isn't that sad? To think, to make a name for yourself, you have to kill a bunch of innocent people. And then only to wake up, your eyes opened in hell. In hell. But they told me this. They told me that. They lied. Because they listened to the father of lies. Don't listen to the father of lies. God has given us the truth in his word. If you have a Bible, I hope it's not sitting on your bookshelf. You'll be held accountable to read. Be like the eunuch. He obeyed what he saw, what he heard. He went to Jerusalem, went out of his way. Now he's reading Isaiah. He's wondering, who is this talking about? God gives him light, points him to the Lord Jesus, because he is the one who this book is about. Understand, Ingemar Derrida speaks here at times. He usually says in our assembly, this is the hymn book. It's all about him. Whether it's the life of Joseph foreshadowing him, whether it's Abel offering the sacrifice, whether it's Abraham offering up Isaac, whether it's a tabernacle in the wilderness, whether it's the prophets who specifically said he's going to be born in Bethlehem. And Daniel saying he'll be born at this time and be rejected. They all point to him. If you were speaking to somebody and he's Jewish, could you tell him about Jesus from the Old Testament? Could you tell him about the Lord from whatever scripture that he happens to be reading? Know your Bible. The more you know your Bible, the more you can be led by the Spirit to speak to somebody out there that you interact with. And you know what? Sometimes people come to you, they ask one question, but they really want to ask you about your faith. Be on watch for that. They don't want to come out and just say, tell me about what it means to be a believer. Or they don't come out easily and say, what must I do to be saved? But they come out on, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Jesus did that with Nicodemus. Even when he talks to him, it seems like he doesn't answer Nicodemus. He answers a different question because he answers what Nicodemus' heart was asking. Be alert to what people are really asking, to be able to give them this, God's word, and start in the scripture and preach to them the Lord Jesus. Now, they're out in the middle of nowhere. They find some water. Again, the man's acting on what he hears. Believe and be baptized. Baptism is a public recognition that I believe. If you say you believe, but you don't want to say it with your mouth and say it in baptism, do you really believe? If you don't obey his word when he shows it to you, do you really believe his word that he's showing to you? So belief and obedience go hand in hand. And so the man said, stop the chariot. There's some water here. Why can't I now confess the Lord? And he does. He and Philip, they get down. They go on into the water. And he baptizes him in the name of the Lord Jesus. Comes up out of the water. God's Spirit says, I got something else for you to do, Philip. And he raptures him away. Eunuch looks around. Where is he? I don't know. But here he goes back to his own land. And God is going to use him there. Probably like Queen of Sheba passed on word about Solomon. Sometimes we wonder, how did the Magi know about the star? How did God get the word to these different places? But he did. He's God. He knows how to get the word. He knows what the heart of man is, where it is. And he gives, as you accept his light, the light of creation, the light of his word, he gives you more light. And so this eunuch, he's probably reading Isaiah a little bit further from chapter 53. If you open your Bibles back to Isaiah, God has a further word for this man. Reads along 55, he reads verse 1, Oh, everyone that thirsts, come to the waters. You who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. He says, wow, doesn't cost me anything. We know in our day, you can buy things without money. People have loads of credit cards, but it's not without price. But without money and without price, it's free, but it's not cheap. God's salvation is free, but it's not cheap. You know, in some places, if you have a business and you are trying to do work among the wealthier people, you have to charge a higher price to them than you do to the same thing to people who are not as wealthy. Because if you don't, they think that the higher the price you charge them, the better the quality that everything is. It's not true, but a lot of people, that's what they find out, that when they're rich, they want to find people that are charging more because the person who charges more must do a better job. But that's not true. And it's not true of the gospel. Because it's free doesn't mean it's cheap. It's nothing. The cost was his precious blood, laying down his life for all. It's for everybody who thirsts. Come. Great word of the gospel. Come. No matter what family you're in, no matter where you were brought up, God's desire is for you to be saved. God's desire is to reveal himself to you. And as this eunuch would read on, in Isaiah 56, comes to verse 3. Do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord has utterly separated me from his people. Don't say, because I wasn't brought up in a Christian home or in a Christian country, or in a Christian land, or far. God still has his eye on you. But look at the next verse. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree, for thus says the Lord to the eunuchs, who keep my Sabbaths. When he read that, he must have, wow, God's saying that right to me. To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, choose what pleases me, holds fast my covenant, even to them I will give in my house, within my walls, a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. What a promise. What a promise directly to this Ethiopian eunuch when he's reading there. Notice he says that I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name. In Hebrew, a place and a name is Yad Vashem. You ever hear of Yad Vashem? In Israel, they have a Holocaust memorial called Yad Vashem, taken from this scripture, in the memory of all the Jews that were killed during the Holocaust, during World War II in Germany, as well as I think they have a garden there for the righteous Gentiles. But here, God has a specific word to speak to the eunuch, to know that God has a promise directly for him. God does the same thing today for everyone. As you respond to what he speaks to you, whether it's when you go out and you see the sunrise, say, wow, God, you're great. You hear the birds. So, I mean, all the creation around you. See his greatness. You respond to that. And if you have Bibles, go to his word. Ask God to speak to you. If you read your Bible regularly, have you ever come across a verse and suddenly it jumps out at you? Like, wow, God gave that for me right now. Spoke to me, reveals himself to me, wants to show who he is, what his character is. Just like in the garden, he wants to walk with us. Wants us to walk with him. You can't walk with him if you don't listen to his voice. If you don't read his word, you won't hear his voice. You won't be able to obey with him. But as he shows you, wherever you are, as he gives you light, receive that light. He'll give further light. He'll open up the glories of his Son, the glories of himself, the promises that we as believers have, hope that we have. It doesn't mean that when you get saved, you'll never have a problem. You might have the same kind of problems the world has, but they have no hope. They have no hope. We have hope. We have hope that is steadfast and sure because the one who said it never lies. And in Hebrews, he talks about Melchizedek, who was another Gentile out there. We wonder how he knew the Most High God. He promised about the Messiah that would be after the order of Melchizedek. And he was saying, just so you be sure that I'm not lying, I swear by an oath, by two unchangeable things. His word is true and his promises are true. When you find it in his word, directed to us, it's the truth. When he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man comes to the Father but by me, he means it. Accept what he says. And trust. Leave the rest up unto him. Shall we just close in prayer? Father, we thank you that you love us. We thank you that you sought us. You used people in our lives to bring us to you. It wasn't because we did the seeking. You sought us, gave us light, gave us more light, gave us your word, revealed your son to us. We thank you for the story of the eunuch and his response to your word. Thank you how you worked in Naaman's life, Melchizedek's life, Samaritan woman's life, so many other lives, our own lives. We pray, Lord, if there's anybody here who hasn't trusted you, you have been speaking to them, they would bow the knee and own that you are Lord and Christ. In your name, amen.